Blog Talk Radio.
Foxology Today. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host. Boy, I'll tell you, that Patti LaBelle gets me rocking and rolling and ready for this show. I love listening to that song before I start talking to you. Well, I hope your day is already terrific. I hope and pray it's going well. I hope you have learned how to flip the script on negativity and fill your mind, heart, and mouth full of words that bless and inspire you, and it shuts down the negativity that tries to slide its way into every opening that it can. That's why I like listening to songs like I've Got a New Attitude, because any little crack or crevice in our mind and in our thinking is a place where negativity will try to gain advantage. Ever had a little negative thought, and before you know it, it created a catastrophe? No, not a real one, a catastrophe in your head. Yeah, that's exactly how negativity works its plan. So you got to say no to it at its inception. Give it no room to grow and nowhere to go. Try this little exercise, as a matter of fact. How about this? Do this visually with me right now. In your mind's eye, see your mind with a door. Now walk up to the door and hang a sign on it that says, "Do not disturb. No negativity allowed." Now open the door and walk through it. And now slam that door as hard as you possibly can, like you really mean it. No negativity allowed in here. Now that's a good exercise and a good practice. And keep doing it until negativity gets the message. It's a good practice for unwanted thoughts, drama, and issues. It works. Shut it out. Well, that's a little lesson that I've learned, wanted to share among the many that I can bear the banners of victory for. I shared last week that so much of what I have learned, I've learned the hard way. And I'll tell you, a lot of stuff really hurt, but I know this about myself. I'm a lover and not a fighter when it comes to people. But when it comes to staying in the ring of life, oh, man, that pit bull comes out in me. I mean, I am the comeback kid, a champion fighter. I've got a couple of TKOs to prove it, too. I really do fight back tooth and nail. And I found that if you can stay in the ring, even though when things are tough, you can win. You really can. Well, today we will talk about lessons we learned. My radio BFF, TV host Cassandra McShepherd, joins me once again and is one of the main inspirations for our topic today. This is what I know so far. Cassandra's own life and wisdom is coined and shared via her video channel featuring This Is What I Know So Far vignettes on life and her experiences. A lot of what we all can learn, we can learn through Cassandra's experiences. She's got many, and she's shares them very eloquently. So we'll talk about some of that today. Thanks for joining me once again, Superstar RR.
It is my pleasure, Silver. It is my pleasure. As I have said often, and I will say it again because I know that it's true, the only reason that we come through anything would be that we could tell somebody, share it with somebody, and it fortifies us for the next day. And I won't say the next catastrophe or the next drama or the next lesson, because I think that the less we put those kind of labels and definition on life, the more easily, hopefully, we can just see ourselves as people on this journey. A lot of people will say, you know, life is hard. Well, I'll say, if you say so, life is a hoot and a holler to me. I mean, it's so deep.
That's why it's got us hollering, Cassandra.
But you know, again, like I said, I have lived long enough to not only be amazed, but to be excited. I see anybody of any age or at any stage of duration hurts. It just hurts such part of our disappointment based on our expectation of what we thought it should be. Because without having put a predetermination, it would just be like a thing that blew across our face many times. Actually, physically
right,
hurt. And,
right.
Well, that's just ouch. But, you know, it is. Go.
I was just going to say, well, you said a mouthful right there that folks can learn from, and that's exactly where we're going with all of this today. Got so much that we want to talk about life's lessons and what they give us that we really can pick apart, find some things to help us and live from, grow from, and thrive from. I have a little book that actually was written by Michael J. Fox, the actor,
mm-hmm.
and it's called A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Future. And the byline title is Twists and Turns and Lessons Learned. And it's interesting. I'm just going to read a short paraphrase quote out of the book. And he says, I found out that there is wisdom that can only come from being old enough to know how much there is to learn. And he references particularly from children. We all know that. He says, I have remained a humble and grateful student of it from the school of hard knocks, then at least the university of the universal. I didn't pick my courses, they picked me. And just as there was no formal matriculation, neither was there any graduation. There were, of course, plenty of tests. And boy, doesn't that say it all.
Absolutely.
Life just comes,
Absolutely.
Life comes when we don't realize it, but we're signing up for that. when we come into the world, that there's so much that we can anticipate. But I love that he and many others, and like ourselves, are, we take it upon ourselves to create something from it that we feel could potentially be useful from it. You are put in the front of the class a lot of the times with the type of issues and problems that we have. And mm-hmm. I know one thing for sure I have learned, it does make sense to truly pay attention.
Yes.
Because once you've got it in front of you, if you don't want to find yourself right back in the front of the classroom having to deal with it again, the best mm-hmm. thing to do is pay attention, see what you've learned and what you can help yourself do better with in the future.
Some thought, Silver, is that though it is impartial. I know it feels very personal sometimes, but we are here to grow. What else is the point? We are here to evolve, and not just the body, but our souls, our consciousness, and that happens through our thinking. And so, again, as I say often, and I say it to remind myself so I don't get it twisted when I get upset, because that definitely does, you know me well enough to know, I can get mad. But it's not about, it's not, we internalize it, we take it personally. It is the gift of, if it doesn't kill us, it's the gift of information. It's coming so one day we can say to somebody, this is what I know so far. Because I'm yet on the path, still learning, but this is what I know so far.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Hence the name of the videos, yes.
And that's exactly where I want to just have us put a pen for a moment, because I want to talk about your series. You began your This Is What I Know So Far actually just by pen. Mm-hmm. And I know that eventually in the last few years you've turned that into a video series.
Yes.
When you began your process of looking at your lessons from a perspective of teaching, what were you thinking at the time? Maybe you weren't even thinking that these are going to be small vignettes or parts of signature speaking pieces that you develop. Were you just going through some of your challenges at the time? Tell us about that.
Well, I appreciate you asking the question, Silver, because you were a huge catalyst in this, in me expressing my experiences in this way. You know, but for the sake, of course, of your listeners, I will share that when we started doing talk radio together, we were there for about 6 or 7 months or so, and after a time, you left, which put me at the helm of the show, theoretically alone, except for the guests or programming that the guests that I would book or programming that I would do. But I knew enough, working with you at that time for 6 months, to know that people don't make it, stuff happens, minds get changed, and you don't always get the benefit of that information until the board operator looks at you and says, your mic is hot. And so when you left the show, I thought the worst thing that could happen would be that I have 2 hours to fill and nothing to say. And so any smart person would get ready and begin to at least look at that possibility and approach it. So I thought, well, let me create something to say. And that was the beginning of This Is What I Know So Far. This Is What I Know So Far was one of those things that I would say, which people, not unlike yourself, coined as Cassandra-isms. I'm just doing me, mm-hmm. being how I be, expressing in the way that I do and saying the stuff I say. But you all said that it was a thing. I didn't know that. I just... So I thought, well, let's call it something. And This Is What I Know So Far, again, is an expression. What it means is that I am a forever student of life, and I share what I know, what I have learned thus far. I share it with you, not that you should take it verbatim, certainly not that you should take it without question or examination, certainly not that you should put it on and wear it because it's mine, but that you might consider it. I shared This Is What I Know So Far because, as I said, I'm still learning. When I learn more, I share that also. It started, as you say, by pen. There were these, like, about maybe 3-4 minute monologues that I would do on air over a bit of jazz music, so it came across like spoken word poetry. And it was basically just to keep me in the seat long enough to get comfortable to do the show. I was scared. And it really evolved. I remember after
you
the
are
first
hilarious.
Week. Well, no, I'm honest. Come on, you know. After the first week, but see, this is the beautiful thing I love about life. If you'll just get dressed to show up and show up, I started writing the first day, and the second day, and the third, and after about a week, I thought, oh Lord, what have I started? I only have one truth. How many ways do I say it? Now that I have started this, and the show was structured around this whole theater of the mind thing that started with, it was what I called the daily bread. And mm-hmm. well, I got to bake it every day. We know I don't bake, baby. I don't cook. I'm not that kind of girl. But I was humbled and excited to find out that I wasn't in it alone, that I had positioned mm-hmm. myself to share from the heart my experiences, the things that I had survived, those things that I thought would break me but that in fact did make me. And I was willing to share it all, honestly, and hoping to do it in a creative and palatable way. And they never stopped coming. That was about 4 years, 3.5, 4 years of writing every morning. And there was, I was basically saying one thing: love yourself and do no harm. That's kind of it. Love you, recognize the God in you, love you, do you, be you, and do no harm. But I found hundreds of ways to stay. And the evolution of that then came when the radio show ended, because I realized at some point after reading some of them back, it's like, who wrote this stuff? It's good. Turned into these 2-3 minute vignettes on my YouTube channel called This Is What I Know So Far. And it just turned into a thing. Which is, again, the lesson there is, if we would avail ourselves, we would, as you and I did the Big Butt Show, and the big butt is not the girth of your hips, it's that humongous butt that's standing in between you and the stuff, say, you want to do. It's a butt this, or butt I this, or butt I, you know, just move that and position yourself. You don't even really have to know. That's the point. You don't have to know what you're doing. Just do it. Know why you're doing it. Be willing. And be willing to learn and be willing to show up. And that is really kind of the explanation for my entire life. It is.
Yes.
And you grow legs and they walk around. So, yeah, that was my
right. You know, you were saying so much, and again, there was a little bit of technical difficulty going on there, but I was picking up every word, and I hope anybody else listening was able to get that as well. That was really, really powerful, what you just explained. Cassandra, when you think about your vignettes, and I know, as you said, you've got hundreds of them, and you know, you said you're pretty much saying the same thing a lot of ways. I'd beg to differ with you, because I know how things can land on people. But do you have a couple that you feel are maybe your favorites that stand out as a real lesson to you? Any one of them that maybe jumps out as you felt so particularly inspired to say?
One of the ones that I think about, because, and again, they are all under the umbrella of This Is What I Know So Far, all of these Cassandra-isms, these things that you and other people say that I say. One of those things is you got to know where to go to get what you want. These are things that I don't necessarily think are that profound, but maybe in their simplicity there are. That might have been a line in a song. It doesn't necessarily feel original to me, but whether I was the first one to say it or whether I heard it, I realized it's profundity, it's truth. You need to know where to go to get what you need. And in the video, I talk about not going to Neiman Marcus to buy in the fine jewelry department, the makeup department, to buy a piece for my power tool, because it's not
right there.
They don't sell it. In other words, when it comes to people, not going to someone who, bless them, but is not evolved enough within their own journey to be self-motivating and self-supporting and self-loving and communicative and all the things that you might be needing. You might need someone to sit and listen to you, someone to support your dreams. You might need someone to give you a hug. Well, you don't go to someone that does not express in that way, expecting them to give you what they cannot give for themselves, give to themselves. And then you become frustrated, which, you know, complicates not only the angst that you're feeling, but now you've brought somebody else into that situation. You've got to know where to go to get what you need. And this piece actually ends up with me saying that the real recognition, the real truth, the only home is within yourself. But you've got to cultivate that. It doesn't mean that we live in a world where we do not or should not need and appreciate the company and the love and support of others, but you cannot count on it. because it is inside of you, and that's the ultimate place to go.
You know, what you just said in this last part particularly, and you're right, it is profound, Cassandra. If you're looking for something, you don't look for it in the wrong place. But
right.
When we have not just looking in the wrong place, but we have the wrong expectations as well, well, you've really complicated where you land.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that while most of us can, or a lot of us have felt maybe prior that there is this kind of wandering on the journey, there's this kind of it's leading itself in a particular way where I believe there is a of course that element to life. There's a lot of it just rolling on and on and on that we have no potential to unwind it or undo the way it's rolling out. However, the good Lord gave us a mind and thinking and the abilities and capabilities to make decisions and choices in regard to what you have just explained. And so it just makes, while you say it, I don't think it sounded that profound, that's what you said, but for many people that find themselves in the wrong places in life or with the wrong people, haven't made the wrong decision, it is pretty profound. You're not going to get good stuff in a bad place. You're not going to find yourself having grown if you're placing yourself in situations where there's no room for that to happen. And it's just those kinds of things where we are living out our daily existence that we really do have to think about what you're saying. It doesn't just happen. I talk to people very often who have been in jobs or careers for years and have their discontentment and dissatisfaction and their complaints and their horrible feelings of that life has passed by, kind of, you know, waiting for during the wandering something to happen. And really, if you want more from a career, from your calling or purpose, you need to look into those particular areas where your heart is truly calling you to investigate, to look, to peek around, ask some questions, to say, what are you doing? How'd you get here? How'd you do that? And that's when you start getting the feedback and the responses and the answers that you need. And then, and also it confirms, this is where I needed to go to get what I needed. So you don't go
to a broke down person on for lessons as to how to be a millionaire. They don't know. I mean, really. If somebody's begging for dollars on the street, God bless them and give them dollars, because the way you get what you want is to give it away. But you don't necessarily stop and ask that person, how do I make my first $100 million? I promise you, he don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
You know something Go on.
Well, I know I was just going to go into another one of your vignettes, but you finish first and then we'll talk about that.
Oh, that's exactly where I was going. There is just one of us here. Another thing you don't want to do is end up stinking like a stable boy. Now, one might say, what? Wait, what did she say? That's right, I said it. You don't want to end up stinking like the stable boy. Now, this speaks to, again, not necessarily knowing what, basically this kind of speaks staying at home with your drawbridge in place. Stinking like the stable boy is another video that talks about those of us who constantly profess our desire for love, that real, that kind of Hollywood movie kind of love, the kind that work, that true love, that foreverlasting love, that pure, all that good stuff. And yet and still, you fall for the okey-doke as every time it passes by you. Stinking like the stable boy talks about the fact that if you are in your castle, but you drop your drawbridge and let the stable boy climb your trellis, that when the prince comes to town, yeah, you're going to get up and wash off, but don't think he's not going to go, I smell stable boy. You're going to be stinking like the stable boy because you cannot, you can't, it's the same thing as throwing trash in your front yard and walking through it and thinking to yourself that none of it is going to get on you. If you see yourself as worthy and deserving, this could be of a job, of a relationship, of a good friendship, of whatever it is. You must be poised and positioned, and you must learn to look at things as they go by, learn what they want to teach you as they pass by, and recognize yourself in the situation that you want to be. And don't drop your drawbridge. And end up thinking like a stable boy. You gotta learn how to stay in your castle, read a book, do the time, motivate, self-inspire, affirm, and do all of those things until you manifest and create the thing that you say are desiring and worthy of.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I don't know if you heard the buzz that was going on recently. Yolanda Van Zandt talked
yes.
about women being out of order. She particularly referenced black women, and she said something along the lines of what you have just said, particularly about choices when it comes to relationships and the poor choices that are being made. Well, she made her point clear. You made yours clear, too.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to just use in as an aside right now, since you shared that, when there are other elements that come into the female psyche, I think, that make them make wrong choices. And it's a different kind of desiring. Perhaps a desperation, perhaps a need to not be alone, or why does everybody else have a man and I don't, and, you know, a lot of other stuff, if you will, that's on in the emotional makeup of a person. But I want to say to that, one of the best lessons you can learn is that your relationship with yourself has got to be primary before you can launch into those situations with the kind of expectations of being fulfilled and satisfied and, you know, all of that. I would really be scared to have a man, with that expectation that he's going to make me happy, he's going to fulfill me, he's going to make me feel satisfied in all the right places, because I don't believe that. I think that what happens is that, and ideally what should happen is that a person brings happiness into your life. They bring additional satisfaction. They bring a feeling of completion, but they don't actually do that for you. That's a self-work, and that's a lesson that any woman needs to learn. It's a self-work. Work on yourself. And I just shared this with someone. A pastor online who is one of my Facebook friends shared a story with me of a young woman, I'm saying young, but a woman in crisis in a relationship. I told him I had to really prayerfully consider a response, and when I did, I told him some things that I thought he should share with her about her own peace, about her own happiness, about how she needs to bring us a higher level of contribution of self in a more positive way to a relationship. Well, I didn't hear anything from a couple of days until just recently, this morning, I think that email came in, on how he told me her words and how much she appreciated and that I was on point about exactly what she needed to do. And I thought to myself, it's the real deal. we can't be so afraid to deal with our own stuff and our own mess and our own feelings of inadequacy and insecurity and those alarms that tell us stuff, so that we don't feel that when, you know, we see Mr. Right, Mr. Wrong, Mr. You walk by, we don't feel that we have got to, oh, I better do something, say something, grab something, you know, make myself think. I just don't know that I think that that's the if you can position yourself to just feel, I mean, awesome about your own sense of existence, about who you are as a woman, and it's a work. It's a real work. Yes, but you position yourself to look desirable. You position yourself for attraction and so many other things that the average man is going to find, and the above average man is going to find kind of irresistible in you.
But Silver, let's do this. Ayanna's statement said that we were out of order. And so what does that mean? What is right order? And anybody, I guess, can describe that or define that rather for themselves. But when things are orderly, and now we're talking about ourselves, as you say, and you said it rightly, it is a personal work that is done. The beautiful thing about aligning yourself, aligning your life, aligning your thinking with your spirit, which is there, whether you're in alignment with it or not, is that you will find that once you begin that work, you stop looking for. I think it's kind of what happens, or in part what happens, when they say it happens when you're not looking for the right thing. Many people will attest to the right love coming when they stopped looking for it, when they weren't even looking for it. And when I think of order, I think that she hit the nail on the head. It's like people say when somebody throws a rock, the one that gets hit is the one that hollers. So she hit, you know what I'm saying? So for those, if you were offended, well, hey, order yourself, you know? I wasn't bothered by what she said at all.
Nor was I.
You know?
I'm thinking the truth hurts. You're right.
Yeah. But bless it. Bless it. And don't get mad at Ayama. She don't even know your name. She was making a statement. If it bothers you, deal with it. And
yes,
again,
yes.
It's by putting yourself in order. You talked about what we expect for people to bring us, for the right relationship to bring us, to do for us. And I mean, wake up. It's not possible, because if it is so right, if he or she is so right and you are not, they don't want you. You drag them. Am I lying? You drag them down. There is a recognition. It's what we talk about, that mental not capacity, that mental equivalent. It is that we recognize there's got to be enough similarity in order for us to even get caught up in this thing called love. There's got to be something, people call it pheromones. It's a scent that we emit. It's something that happens. I believe that it is not without its spiritual purpose as well.
Mm-hmm.
But why do you recognize some people and you don't others? Some people, if not all relationships, are there to reel us in and hook us and force us to grow to different levels, grow from where you are, wherever that is. And so if you haven't dealt with anything, oh, God bless you, but don't call me. You know what I'm saying? You've got to be, it's not about somebody else to fix you, to finish you, to complete you. That was Hollywood. It was a great line. It sold popcorn and movie tickets, but it is not possible. You recognize where you are. And so if you want the best relationship, be the best relationship potential Spend your time on yourself. Do you. And watch your life. Your life is magnifying what you're doing regardless. So do you in a grand, loving way and watch that show up in your life. He will come just walking right up to you.
Absolutely.
Saying, hey,
absolutely.
Baby,
you know, one of the things I wrote down several lessons that kind of jumped out at me as I was thinking this morning. One of them is what we were just saying. The truth is sometimes hard to swallow, but swallow it you must. Mm-hmm. It's hard to swallow. You know, those
it's
things that, I'm sorry?
I said it's good for you, though.
Yeah,
like
absolutely. You'll find that lying to yourself, which or being delusional about things because it's, you know, seems like it's too hard to deal with it, but actually digging the deep and finding the realities and the truths, the pain has greater gain than anything else. You know, there are things that. Of course, you know, more lovelier things that happen. I don't want to disregard any of that, but if we don't accept the truth, you know, again, what she said, what Iyama said, what you've just said, it wasn't meant to sound pretty. It was made to sound truthful. It was made to sound like I love you and I'm trying to help you see
mm-hmm.
something. That you may not have had anybody else tell you this cold and blank. It is what it is. And I just believe, and you know, it's like Michael J. Fox and others, you know, we're in this classroom, whether we, you know, want to be or not. You don't graduate. There's just, you know, a lot of tests. And one of the other things I have is, You can't always be right, even though you want to fight against what was said. It makes sense to look and listen and learn from people when they're telling you stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take pause and be poised like a lady and listen to what she said. Listen
mm-hmm.
to what you're saying. Listen to what I'm trying to say and others who not necessarily that we've perfected a way of doing and being, but, you know, we're all processing to become more fabulous, more wonderful, more great and you know, being fabulous women. You know,
we're sharing what we know so far.
Yes, absolutely. So embrace the hard truths. Embrace them and swallow them. And, you know, like you said, it's like a dose of bad taste in medicine. But still, by the time it goes into all the right places and does the healing that it needs to do in your heart and in your head and in your spirit, boy, you'll be walking like, yeah, this is what I know so far.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For sure. For
you know,
sure.
And that brings me to another one, Silver, and that's called Grown Girls Have Receipts. And it doesn't have to be just grown girls or just grown up or people who have been through something. And receipts are kind of on the lessons because when you finally stop running from the way that life is trying to love you and grow you up, when you finally stop blaming and guilting and tripping or possibly when you are so broke down that you can't do nothing but accept it. You don't have to do that. You don't have to get to that point. Then what you get, I see, is as you say, Michael J. Fox says, you don't really pass the class. There's just a lot of tests. But I think you do get receipts, is what I like to call it, and because they're in you or there becomes in you, which is natural. You don't even have to think about it. Something that says, I survived this. There is a knowing. There's a level, if you will. Now, is it going to keep you from being challenged in that way again? Absolutely not. That's not the point. But it is. But it happens, and hopefully you recognize it. that when you are stressed or pressed in a similar way, you can look back and say, well, I survived that. I can approach this at least on my feet, at least sitting down, at least maybe I'm not running away from it. The more you live through, the more you learn so far, the more lessons you get, the more able, and then hopefully one day you realize, this is, I also say, is recognizing spirit, is learning to lean, that unabiding faith, that never ending, everlasting, that peace that surpasses all understanding, that how people, when you look at their lives and you just see them standing in the middle of a tsunami, but they're standing and they're not complaining. It's possibly, unless they've just gone stark raving mad, it's possibly because they're looking at their receipts and they are recognizing that I have come this far. I have lived through some things. I have seen a rhythm in this thing called life. First comes the test, and the test can last however long. But then if I keep getting up, it ceases. It lessens. And then all of a sudden, I'm standing and looking back at it, thinking, wow. And when the next test comes, I don't feel quite as afraid. I feel somehow a little stronger, a little less intimidated. You might not ever be really ready to learn a hard lesson, but somehow you know, well, I've come this far.
One of the things I'd like for us to reflect on is some of what you just said, Cassandra, because you related it to a lot of things. And one of the other lessons I wrote down is that even sometimes the best laid plans can fall apart for us in life. And I think in terms of work, career, relationships, surprises that even in somewhat pitfalls sometimes if you look at it that way. But the great thing that there's a couple of lessons I've learned about that. Yes, a lot of things can fall apart, and they do, even though you may have crossed your T's and dotted your I's and put all of your ducks in a row and your faith is optimum and your ability seems fierce, things do sometimes happen. And I've learned that, and I love it when I read stories of some of the most successful people and how they've talked about the many times that they literally failed before they had such tremendous successes, and that they still fail in various areas. They just don't, you know, publicize it as much as they seem to, you know, other aspects of their life that are so much more glossy. But failure is a part of things, and sometimes it's a part of the plan. You know, it's the lesson from the lesson that we get. And another thing that I've learned, you do eventually succeed if you keep trying. If you stop trying, then you potentially are hindering the process to success. It does require effort. It does require endeavoring. It does require pressing on in spite of what may seem like devastating failures and devastating pitfalls. Some of the greatest stories of success are with from people who had friends and family desert them, laugh at them, criticize them for what they believed and what they thought they could make happen, and all of that. And we have to know that that's just a part of it. If you believe in what you're doing, if you have found that place in life where you feel you belong, or you can see that truth and that vision better than anybody else can, or you the only one who can, you have to follow through on that. And if you fall, you fail, you falter along the path, just know that those are things that are there that will keep you getting stronger with each time you pick yourself up and keep going.
I am reminded of another title that so is in line with what you're saying. You talk about people who have a dream, and I think we all must. We might not all be in touch with them, and how how your friends and family, people who are close to you, don't support you. The title of this one is He Meant You. You and I talked often, Silver, about dreams and plans and aspirations, and you and I both know that not unlike that you got to go where to go to get what you need, you and I both know that being pregnant, you have been, I have not, but I know what it's like, so I hear anyway, but there is a gestation period, not unlike a dream that is growing in you. That and as you are pregnant with a life, it doesn't happen overnight. There's a 9-month gestation period where the life is evolving and forming and shaping and being ready to be birthed with enough stuff, immunities, to stand, well, to be. And then when that baby / dream is born of you, everybody can't play. You don't want everybody, breathing on your child because it's still very young and very fragile. People don't understand all the time what you're pregnant with, what I am pregnant with, because God didn't mean them. He meant you. And so when people don't understand, and it sounds like this, child, you can't do that. Oh, girl, if I was you, but you're not. Smooches, but you're not. If people don't understand what you're saying, God didn't mean them. He didn't give them the memo. He didn't in this way. He didn't spark their spirit in this way. He gave it to you to let it grow in you. He trusted you with the vision to birth it. Excuse me. To birth it, to protect it, to cultivate it, and to let it be. And what he gives you, he will honor.
One of the other lessons that I had written down is you have to believe in yourself. And I've got it underlined, yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You've
mm-hmm.
got to believe in yourself because along the way, it is wonderful if you've got a cheerleading team. That's
mm-hmm.
great. If you've got people who believe in your, quote-unquote, crazy idea or your crazy dream or that crazy possibility. But if there isn't anybody, if people kind of give you the side eye or shake their head when they hear it or, and smirk a little bit and laugh a little bit about what you're thinking, we can't let that throw us off. And I know positively a lot of people do. They just say, okay, that I guess it does sound crazy. I guess, I'm not going to do that because I guess that is a stupid idea. No,
mm-hmm.
like you said, you've got to believe in yourself. You've got to be the one that gives yourself a pat on the back. You've got to be the one that says, I'm going to try it anyway. Whether it looks like it couldn't possibly happen, I'm going to put all my effort into it anyway because I believe in it. I believe
mm-hmm.
in me. I believe in myself. And you still may not get a high five even when people start to see it unfold right before their very eyes. They're still going to
mm-hmm.
stick with their story that you couldn't
exactly.
possibly do it, that you couldn't possibly make it happen. And I'm sure that we've got very successful people who can attest to the fact that there are people who are still looking and still putting up negativity and naysayer language, even in the midst of seeing how these people have succeeded. They'll say things like, oh, it's still not going to work. you know, it's right. still gonna fail. Well, you again have to believe in you and what you're doing, and you are the only one who can continuously, day in, day out, 24/7, 365 days out of the year, breathe the breath of life into whatever that goal is, whatever that dream is, whatever that aspiration is, whatever that silly, crazy, unbelievable, impossible, improbable thought idea may be. You keep breathing life into it. You make it happen. And
two women don't usually carry the same baby. I've really never heard a case where that happened. So if you are pregnant with the idea, if it's yours, let it develop in you. And a lot of times mm-hmm. when you talk about when things, you know, happen, and certainly once things reveal themselves, those things that grow in private, safe places reveal themselves. There are some people that think you have a cute baby, and they kind of want to, you know, get on board after all. And some people, like you say, will think the child is ugly, / the dream is improbable, and never get on board. Everybody's not going to think your baby's cute. It's okay. Every dream, if you have it, is viable.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Another thing that I made a note of is that, you know, sometimes you just kind of hope and wish and pray that some problems will go away. I wrote down that problems don't just go away. There probably are some circumstances that some people say, well, yeah, they do. Well, for the most part, if we got issues, if we've got a something going on that's categorically what we want to say is wrong or bad or happening in not so good of way, problems just don't typically go away. And it reminds me of a story. I don't know, you probably remember Randy Posh, the professor who had the pancreatic cancer, who was living a very vital life, beautiful family, living out his aspiration as a professor at the university, but then got diagnosed with this terminal illness and discovered that he did not have very long to live. And most of us watched that play out. I know I kept my eyes on it until Randy was no longer on this side of life, but he offered a great deal of inspiration and left some great messages and great lessons behind. But in regard to problems, and he was referring to handling certain things in life, but I thought about this in regard to problems. Randy was saying that when you're dealing with things, if you've got three frogs to eat, eat the ugliest one first. And I thought, you know, what a great idea or concept or perception to think about that when you're dealing with some of the issues that you know you must tackle in life, that you must in order for them to get handled and then ultimately dissolve, go away, you know, be rid of it. So I think it's important that we realize that what we have to do is look at the frogs in our life. And I'm not talking about necessarily people, but frogs as issues, as problems, as circumstances that are things that if they weren't there, we could move on more successfully. Look at them and start eating the ugly ones first. Tackle the ones that seem the worst and the hardest, the biggest, and start knocking those things out, because they don't have a mind of their own and say, oh, I think I'll stop being a problem and go away. We have to do something about those things. And, you know, the great news is when we do, we can, you know, kind of free ourselves from so many future issues that may be similar.
Yeah, you know. So I think that maybe we do try to live that we don't hurt. We do try to live and get fortified enough, rich enough, far enough away
so we don't have to feel anything. So we don't have to grow or be pressed or stressed. And I'm thinking that's not really the point. I see people who have removed themselves from communities, from cities, from jobs that they deemed frightening, stressful, too much pressure. I've seen people elevate their financial situations to the degree where they don't have the challenges that I do. I've seen people, as we all have, especially with reality TV, in many kinds of situations, they just have bigger problems, more expensive issues. And still, we can look at those and think, you're tripping on nothing. You've got this, you've got that. Why are you tripping? I think that, we need to just call life a trip and get packed for it. We talked about that before. What do you put in your bag for the road? Do you pack for the trip? And I don't think that it is. I don't think that it is meant to be avoided. Not if you wake up. You know, you reached your destination when you're done. But if we don't take it personally, if we change, you talked about failure a minute ago, and as you were talking, I thought, well, you never have to fail. You can go through life and always succeed. I can tell you how. Change your definition of failure. Call it something else, and you don't ever have to experience it. It's real simple. It's real simple.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. Are you ever a loser? Never. Have you lost at anything? Never. What? I don't see it that way. If other people do, it's their loss. It's not yours.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know what, sis? We have talked almost an hour again, and we're at that time where we are going to put the wrap-up tie-up on this with a nice bow. I want to thank you for sharing your lessons, a few of them, and I'm sure as we do more shows together, I'm hoping you're going to avail yourself whenever possible to put this information out that I know truly blesses people when they are listening. But I will, again, just thank you again for your time this is a labor of love, but I'll say taking it to task to share what you know so far with the Foxology audience. I appreciate you a lot.
So it has been a pleasure, and I think we should keep what we think. We're figuring out how to do things here until we figure out how to stop the clock.
Yes, please check out Cassandra's video channel. Cassandra, give them the website. It is the link
they
is
just,
on this
they
site.
They can just do CassandraMcShepherd.com. Just CassandraMcShepherd.com.
Okay.
Mhm.
Okay. Wonderful.
And
wonderful.
That's easy. Yes.
All right. Well, thanks a million, and I'll look forward to talking to you again real soon.
As will I. Thank
Have
you.
Have a great day. All righty. All right, and listeners, I want to thank you for being the bestest, the most awesome audience ever. I really do appreciate you. Please tell your friends about Foxology today and that we talk it up. We have some great conversations, and we share some wonderful information, something that's going to challenge you, maybe even change you. For sure, it's going to bless you. So tell your social media friends about what's happening and point them to www.blogtalkradio.com/Foxology. There are a lot of really great shows to check out. So I'm going to wish you an awesome day, and I'm going to look forward to you checking back in again with me again too real soon. Make it amazing. Talk to you later.